Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport. Thank you for coming back to the Inside Lacrosse Podcast. I am Terry Foy, joined once again by Denver coach Bill Tierney, and we're talking about the fall. Coach T, your team's on trimesters, always a little bit interesting relative to scheduling, and of course, you're coming off of a 2021 campaign that probably couldn't have been more unique relative to a 68-player roster, the need to practice in cohorts, and certainly all the travel and, you know, playing Big East teams twice and everything else that goes along with it. I guess I'll start by asking, how's it feel to kind of get a little bit more normal this fall?
You're absolutely right, Terry. It's been really different, and getting back to the new norm, which is hopefully as close to the old norm as possible, has been really interesting. Just simply with simple things like the team being in the locker room for the first time in a year and a half together, and you know, being able to practice, you know, with the team out there for the first time, you know, in the fall. So it's been really interesting. We think back to last year and obviously disappointed we didn't move further on in the tournament than we did, but you know, going 12-4 and traveling 34,000 miles with no COVID incidences, as you mentioned, playing the Big East twice is certainly a challenge. But it was, as we look back, it was a great year. It feels like this is more of a change this year than last year was, because everybody last year was put into that, all those different situations with cohort and testing and everything else. And nobody knew what was happening with our schedules until December of last year. So, you know, we're certainly excited about being able to come back and have a team camaraderie like we normally do. And we actually practiced a little more this fall than we have in the past, and probably got at it more as a, you know, synchronous with a regular season practice schedule than we have in the past. But it's been fun, and we got a lot of, you know, we went from basically 25 seniors to 25 freshmen, if you include our 14 sophomores who didn't have a freshman year. So it's been fun. It's been interesting. And, you know, we feel like we got a really great group of kids.
One element of that really great group of kids is that in addition to your 25 seniors, you guys graduated a lot of talent. So there's going to be a lot of opportunity for guys to come in and contribute in ways that they haven't been asked to previously. How did you tell them that message from, I would assume, you know, exit interviews the day after the Loyola game in May all the way through, you know, the exit interviews that you're conducting right now coming away from fall practice?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think the key word in all of it is opportunity. You know, as we look at our roster and we look at if we had a game tomorrow, we're talking about how young we are. But if we had a game tomorrow, our first 15, 16, 18 guys are for the most part juniors and seniors and 50-year guys again. Now, if we get below that, and that's mixed in with a couple of freshmen and a couple of sophomores who have shown to be able to step on the field and play for us. But I think more than the what we have anticipated to be the age and lack of experience thing has really, really turned out more to be a chemistry thing with new people in new spots. Let's face it, you don't have, you know, Danny Logan and Ethan Walker and Colin Squires. You don't have those guys. Your chemistry is going to be different. You're going to have to play differently. Jackson Morrow, Lucas Kotler, you're going to have to play differently than you did a year ago. And I think all the kids are looking at this as, in some cases, maybe blindly. So, you know, looking at this as, wow, I've got a real chance. Last year, it didn't matter. I had no chance. But this year, everybody seems to have a chance. And that's made for more competitive practices, made for real enthusiastic team culture, and some new people have come in and really shown that they're going to push some of the more experienced guys to be better as well.
Are Alex Simmons and Jack Hanna your leaders offensively?
And yes, those two and Teddy Sullivan and JJ Silstrop. You know, you got those four guys. JJ's coming off a banged up year. But the other three, you know, Teddy's come back as a fifth-year guy. Jack's come back as a fifth-year guy. And they're both captains with a junior defenseman, Adam Hangland. And they are certainly the guys that, as we look at, you know, Teddy and Jack and Simmons and Silstrop, they're going to be the guys that are certainly instrumental to our success. And hoping that some of those older guys who have played some, but played minor roles, now can come in and play major roles, and due to their experience or their age, that they'll, you know, as I told one kid this morning, we don't have that 60 or 50 goal scorer in Ethan Walker, but I feel like when you start throwing some other guys together, we'll get his 50 goals. It just might be divided amongst three guys or so.
Sure. You mentioned Adam Hanglin coming back after having started 16 games last year at the defensive end. Jack DiBenedetto started 17 games. Jack Thompson, your goalie, started 17 games as well. AJ Mercurio played in every game. Malik Sparrow has a ton of experience as well. Would you say that at least to start the year, despite some of the high-profile losses at that end of the field, specifically Danny Logan and Colin Squires, who, you know, showed themselves at the next level as being really good players, do you feel like that's going to be an area of strength to start?
We think so. We think so. And yet, you know, people think that it's kind of funny. People are going to think, well, they lost so much offensively. They'll have to really work offensively to be better. And they've maintained everybody defensively. And so that'll be a strength. It's again, going back to that, to the starters and the experienced guys, it's kind of the opposite. And the reason it's the opposite is because we lost two, you know, 1 4-year starter and 1 3-year starter at the short stick position, which we all know is a key position in our game. So that's our big issue, you know, is who takes Danny Logan's and Kyle Smith's spots. And if we find those people, which we think we will, we're not going to have another Danny Logan, but if we find adequate people, which I think we will, then I think you're right. Then I think the defense from an experience standpoint really comes into play. How to, you know, what do we do to fill Colin Squires' spot? How do we do that with either personnel that we have, new personnel, or maybe even splitting AJ and Malik and moving one of those guys to close? All of those things are things that are possibilities as we move forward.
Well, I can tell you that if you keep going to the great state of Ohio, you're going to continue to find more Danny Logans.
We love Ohio.
Shifting the focus to the spring, you mentioned that it wasn't until December that you even had a sense of what your 2021 schedule was going to look like. You've already dropped your 2022 schedule. Some notable elements include Johns Hopkins coming to Denver for a preseason scrimmage, which is very cool to see.
Right.
But the most substantial change is not playing Notre Dame in the regular season and instead adding Yale. What are your thoughts on how the schedule came together?
Well, look, the schedule, you know, once it went back to only playing the Big East teams once, right? Then we went back to all the people that we played normally in our off season, in our non-conference season. So we had we're going to go to Utah for the first time. We always play Air Force, you know, Duke and North Carolina, you know, are always willing to play us. Now we have to travel to those places more than have them here at home. And that's part of the deal. You know, I get that. And then we always have this little tournament that we have where we're playing two games in 2 days this year against Jacksonville and Canisius. Ohio State will, you know, Coach Myers is a guy who's, you know, a man of his word. And despite some crazy situations with the weather a few years ago, and then with the COVID, you know, in 2020, and then last year with both of our schedules being, you know, we were doubled up in the Big East, they were doubled up in the Big Ten, so we didn't play. It's actually the first time in 4 years we'll be playing them, and we've been trying to get to Ohio for the last three, and it hasn't worked out. So, and then Coach Nadelin at Towson is certainly willing to continue this home and home, which is exciting for us to get to Baltimore. You know, the big change, of course, is not having Notre Dame. And the reality of that is that you'd have to ask them why. We have our own ideas. You know, maybe the University of Denver isn't dignified enough to be a team on their schedule that beat them 7 of the last 9 times. Or maybe they, as they say, they wanted to make more local non-conference games, but Georgetown's certainly not around the corner from South Bend, and I know they've added Georgetown. So that was disappointing, I'll be real honest with you. But, you know, with the bad goes the good, and due to this other scheduling, due to the Ivy League not being not playing last year, there was some mix-ups in some scheduling with them. And, you know, about a month ago, I got a call from Andy Shea and asked me if we still had that March 12th date open, and we did. And so, you know, we're now playing a team who's won a national championship and been in a championship game in very recent history. So we're excited about the schedule. We think it's a challenging one. We think it's one that if we're successful in it, we can be in a good spot, one that gives us a lot of opportunity to overcome this youth or inexperience that we have at, you know, that we talked about. And hopefully by the end of the year and battling through the Big East, we'll be primed and conditioned for a good run in May.
With respect to the Yale series, I'm sure Denver fans from the state of Connecticut want me to ask whether or not this is a home and home and you guys intend to go to New Haven for the 23 season?
We don't know. And then we would certainly want to do that. You know, again, that came from Coach Shea, who had there was some sort of mix up in the scheduling or whatever it was. So that'll be their call. We certainly would love to continue that, that relationship. We're also talking to some other schools, because COVID changed a lot. COVID made people think outside the box a little bit. If you look at, you know, how many games, for instance, that Duke plays and all that stuff, I think people have learned to not be so paranoid as we've been in the past, and that the harder schedule you play, the more happy your players are, which is the most important thing, but the more opportunities it gives you to have a shot at the end. Because, you know, you've been in this game long enough to know, you win two high RPI games during the year, you're in the NCAA tournament. You know, it's just, you know, it's you don't know where you're going to be, but you're certainly in it. And this year, with the addition of the Ivy League coming back with 4 or 5 really powerful teams, it's not going to be as easy to get into the tournament as it was a year ago. So, you know, I would love to continue this with Yale, but it's not like right now it's set in stone for a home and home. You probably have to ask Andy on that. And I'm sure if you know, he knows that we're going to be open for it, then I'm sure he would want to be as well.
Well, Coach Bill Tierney, we really appreciate your time on the Inside the Cross podcast. As always, it's a pleasure catching up, and we look forward to seeing your Pioneers get back on the field in January as we get ready for the 2022 season.
Thanks, Terry. Appreciate always talking to you.
And the Inside the Cross podcast continues with Alex Dathakis, junior faceoff specialist for the Denver Pioneers. And Alec, obviously, a tremendous season in 2021, very unique in respect to, you know, a 67-man roster, a mid-year transfer at your position, and obviously a dramatic ending on your home field in the first round of the NCAA tournament. But, you know, certainly great to have lacrosse back after we missed out on almost all of the 2020 campaign. And looking ahead to 2022. So first of all, thanks for joining us. And second of all, how was the fall for you and your teammates?
I think the fall was really good this year. It was just nice kind of get back on campus, see the guys again. And I think this fall, we really focused on just kind of being together as a team, because I know for a lot of teams last fall, including us, we were kind of split up into different groups. So we weren't practicing all as one squad. But this fall we were. So it was just kind of nice see everybody out there again and just be competitive with each other.
What did you focus on improving in your game over the summer?
I think this summer, I kind of got a good group of guys back home that I take face-offs against. I think the biggest things for me, since we kind of switched this year from knee down to, last year, from knee down to, you know, standing neutral grip, I think the biggest things are exits and just knowing where to exit and kind of getting a feel for that. Because, you know, it's just a lot faster. There's guys that counter a lot more, and the counters are a lot faster than they were for knee down. So I think really just knowing what you're going to do once you have the clamp and where the ball is going to go and kind of reading and reacting to what the other guy does against you.
So obviously T.D. Yerlin was a notable story last year in terms of joining your squad.
Yeah.
Like I said, midway through the year, but he's not the only notable departure from the faceoff unit. You had a wing in Danny Logan who went on to show lacrosse fans all over the country that he wasn't just good as a college player. He was tremendous as a pro as well. What's life without Danny like?
Sorry, what was the tail end of that?
What's life without Danny like?
Yeah, I know. Danny was great. Danny was a great D-man. He was great on the wings. He was really just good all around. But I think, you know, there's guys that are always going to step up, right? We have a few D-mids this year. I think they're all going to do great things. You know, it's really about just making that relationship with them and kind of talking to them about where to be and what to do on the wings. So I'm excited about the group we have this year, and I think we're going to make it work pretty well.
And one of those guys is, you know, one of the guys that returns with a fair amount of experience in Malik Sparrow. How do you characterize the chemistry that you have with him?
Yeah, no, I love playing with Malik. Malik's a guy that really can get in there on the wings. And I mean, everybody knows what he can do defensively, but I think it's going to be good this year. I think he's another guy that just kind of knows where to be and just know where, like, kind of what I do with the ball, whether I like to go forward or go backward. We kind of game plan that together, but he kind of just knows where to be and knows when to box guys out. And he's real physical on the wings, which is something I really, really like about that.
You mentioned you had an opportunity to practice as a full group over the course of the last fall. What was the fall like? When did you guys get started with practices? When did you wrap up? What did you do in terms of competition, alumni game, all that sort of stuff? And how do you kind of approach this period of time between Thanksgiving and Christmas?
Yeah, so we actually started, our fall ball was 8 weeks and started, I think, a week into it. We always start with a run test to get everybody back in shape. But I think the fall was good overall. We had a motto this year, and it was sharpen your competitive edge, and something our strength coach came up with. And he actually brought out an axe for the team that wins. So we had 8 different teams, and we just kind of compete on different things. We do sprints and different team activities. One weekend we did flyer or tire flips and flag football. And I think that was really important to kind of push that competitiveness this year, just because we want to be a contender this year. And then going into this 6-week break, I think it's just important. Our coaches have kind of been preaching that you just need to stay in shape, and you need to do the workouts over break. You need to come back ready, because, you know, as you know, we get back. I think January 3rd, and I don't think we start that week, but the week after. And it just starts up fast. I know we have a scrimmage within that first 2 weeks, and then it's week one, so you kind of get right into it. So you kind of have to just rely on yourself over break, and I think you have to be really committed. And just remember, when you get back, it starts up, so you have to be ready for that.
So we mentioned Danny Logan, T.D. Yerlin, two guys that graduated, but, you know, obviously you felt losses all over the rest of the roster as well, with guys like Ethan Walker, Jackson Morrill, Lewis Kotler. The point is that, you know, there's a lot of talent that needs to be replaced, and that makes a lot of opportunity for your younger teammates, your classmates, and the guys that have come in behind you, giving them an opportunity to step up and take on new roles. Who are some guys that impressed you and stood out over the course of the fall?
Yeah, for sure. I think over the fall, there's definitely a few guys that showed up and played really well. Guys like Jake Ettinger, Matt Marino. I think those are going to be two really big additions on the D-Mitty side of things, and and taking wings kind of. And as offense goes, I think we have, I know we graduated a lot of guys, but we still have some returners. We have Alex Simmer. He's a great player, great attack man. We have guys like Teddy and Jack Hanna. And I think those guys are going to be great on the offensive side. So overall, yeah, I mean, we have guys that graduated and they're doing great things now, but you know, there's always going to be guys that step up. There's always going to be guys that want to play. There's always going to be guys that are going to be competitive and try to win that spot. And I think that's what's been the most exciting about this fall, is kind of seeing that competitiveness in everybody and seeing everybody fight for those positions.
You mentioned that last offseason there was a huge transition from the knee-down moto grip to the standing neutral grip. And I guess my question is, how glad are you that you don't have to learn a whole new set of rules this offseason?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of nice because this offseason I can do a little more studying and kind of look at what other guys do and watch a little bit more film. Because last year was just so new to everybody, you know. Nobody really did S&G before last year. So it's kind of nice just to take it all in this year and kind of look at the film from last year and what you can improve on, and actually going into practice with a plan and saying, hey, today we're going to work on this, or today we're going to do exits going forward, or opening up righty. So it's kind of nice to take it all in.
How do you feel like the standing neutral grip style caters to your strengths as an athlete? And how do you feel like there were aspects of it that maybe you needed to focus on and improve on based on the type of player you were before this rule change?
Yeah, no, for sure. I think I've always been kind of a bigger and more physical guy. And I think that does cater to S&G still, because you see a lot of guys clamping still. And I know, you know, when you're in those 50-50 scrums, I think it's important to be strong so you can use your weight to actually get over the ball. And I think you can get over the ball better by being a little bit bigger. But I think it's also a little bit different because, like I said before, a lot of guys are faster now at the counter. So you're kind of already on your feet to make that initial counter. So you have to be a lot quicker on your exits. So I think something for me I've been really trying to work on is those exits and actually getting it out faster. And really that first initial step on that sprint. So really using your right foot to dig into the ground and get out of the clamp or get off your hands and actually get the ball into your stick.
And who are some of the other face-off guys on your team that are pushing you and making sure that you're showing up every day for practice and ready to perform your best?
Yeah, we have a few guys actually. We have Brett Booz, who's been amazing. We also have a new freshman that just came in, Ethan Chris. He's also been great. And then we have a guy that sometimes takes him, a D Mitty and Jackson Harvey, who used to be a face-off guy. So I think all those guys combined, I mean, it really just gives you different looks. And they give me different looks, which is great. You know, they all kind of have different styles and they're all from different areas. So it kind of brings different ideas and we kind of hash things out during practice, which is nice, and kind of talk about things together. And, you know, if this guy does this, what do? We all kind of have different opinions. So it's nice to have a lot of minds thinking about it at once, if you know what I mean.
Totally. Well, Alec, we really appreciate your time on the Inside the Cross podcast. Good luck as you go through this period of time between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Enjoy yourself, and we look forward to seeing the Pios when you get back on campus in the spring.
Thanks, Terry. Appreciate it.
And the Inside the Cross podcast continues with Ohio State head coach Nick Myers, whose Buckeyes had a relatively packed fall schedule, taking on Syracuse and Yale in upstate New York, and then more recently, the U.S. U21 team, which Coach Myers is also the coach of, in addition to the traditional Michael Bresci Scholarship Fund event against North Carolina, those two happening in Columbus a couple weeks ago. Coach Myers, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Terry, thanks for having me. It's great to be here today.
So how do you characterize how the fall unfolded for the Buckeyes?
Yeah, well, I appreciate the, you know, the opportunity to share a little bit about this fall, because there is a lot of excitement around, you know, this time that we've had together. You know, I think like many in the lacrosse world and certainly outside the lacrosse world, just a fall that feels a lot more like what we're used to. You know, I think that's where I would start. I think for the men, the energy, and it probably started, you know, going back to June, you know, coming out of the season, you know, giving the men some time to get home and be with family, and really didn't see their families a whole lot in the spring. They needed that time to recharge, but we had a great summer. You know, we had a great strength coach. We had about 20, 25 guys that were here all summer that trained and played box here in the Columbus Box League. And, you know, so I think that sets the tone for a great fall when you have a great summer. And, you know, as we got back in the fall, we really hadn't had any of that the summer prior to. So sometimes you forget about that summer phase and the importance of that. And I just felt like this summer in comparison was great. So that really bled into the fall and, you know, getting the men back on campus and just having, you know, time together, doing team retreats, having them over for dinners, you know, doing things off the field that we've always done that I think really builds the fellowship, the character of your team, the cohesion of your team, you know, doing some of those things that I think was really critical. And then obviously playing, you know, a lot of lacrosse on top of that. But I would say for us, the emphasis on the weight room, you know, and getting back to where we needed to be, you know, we were really limited last spring in terms of what we could do in the weight room due to COVID. So this summer, it was a real emphasis on building the team back up from a strength and conditioning perspective. And I felt like we accomplished that, and we were able to push our fall ball back. We were a little later than normal, did our 4 weeks primarily in October when we finished with that scrimmage you mentioned with Team USA and UNC the first week in November, a little later. So just, again, it gave us a little more time to get in the weight room. And, you know, I felt like it was a really, really productive fall.
That trend of really not doing 20-hour weeks in September seems like it picked up steam across the country this fall. Was that an intentional choice? Was it a product of what you kind of learned and experienced last year? Or was it essentially the outcome of giving yourself more time to handle maybe the unknown of COVID, in addition to obviously the ability to emphasize strength and conditioning throughout September and late August?
No, I was very intentional. I mean, we met back in early July with my staff and the strength coach, and we just assessed. We said, look, we just physically, we're not where we need to be. You know, numbers don't speak to it. So, you know, it's hard to admit that as a coach, but that's the truth, you know, and it doesn't matter how tight your scheme is or, you know, how you execute if physically you're not, you know, to the standard that you have here. And so that's a big part of playing Buckeye lacrosse. So, you know, we were just honest with ourselves and we mapped out what we felt like. I remember talking to the coach and said, listen, we're going to put this, you know, this meaning the strength of our team as the primary, you know, driver here. And we'll kind of fill in lacrosse once we get that mapped out. And we really looked at Thanksgiving from July to Thanksgiving as the bogey. And he put together a really concise, clear plan of attack for our men to build strength, to get us back to where we are right now, going home for Christmas break, hitting numbers that we've hit in the past, you know, prior to the holiday break. So that was number one priority. And I think when we looked at that, we just didn't feel like there was any way we could start playing lacrosse and getting into 20-hour weeks until late, you know, until middle of October. So that was definitely the driver. You know, I think the hidden positive for us selfishly as a coaching staff is that you have that time in September to, you know, get a little bit more entrenched in your team in the 8 hours. But for us, there's obviously a big focus on recruiting, you know, so we were able to balance, you know, the heavy load of recruiting and the contacts, the visits in September, those weekends, and not feel like we were taking away from our team, you know, to a degree, which I think is just the truth, you know. And then when we had a lot, we probably had the lion's share of our recruiting done toward the end in beginning of October, which, you know, then you can really shift your focus and make sure that everything is on that 4 week competitive portion of your fall ball.
That recruiting point definitely resonates with me. And I guess essentially, you know, just to put a bow on this part of the conversation, it suggests that it's a plan that you will likely stick to in the years ahead, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I would like to have been out on the road, you know, in that first week in November, there was a lot of coaches out and we weren't. You know, the weather that first week in November can be hit or miss depending on where you're scrimmaging and who you're scrimmaging. But I definitely liked having October really be the target for our fall ball and using those last couple weeks of August. It's really a 6 week training block, you know, when you look at it. It's those first two weeks or those last 2 weeks of August and really 4 weeks in September that you're in your 8 hours and, you know, allow your men to get in to acclimate. I think for your freshmen, you know, there's a lot to be said for not throwing too much at them at once, you know, allowing them to hit the ground running, focus on school, and the workouts they are having are not, you know, very playbook intensive. It's, you know, show up and run, train, you know, lift, and you sprinkle a little bit of lacrosse in here and there. And I think for your new Buckeyes, it just builds confidence, you know, so that by the time you get 6 weeks in, you're ready for clearing and riding and offensive, defensive type terminology, et cetera. So that's another positive, in my opinion, in terms of acclimating your new Buckeyes and really allowing your leaders, you know, time to establish themselves. You know, it's nice when coach isn't in the workout and they're in the weight room or they're on the turf with their strength coach, and maybe Coach Myers isn't, you know, right there. You know, I think for them to have some of those moments together as a team is really impactful as well. So, yes, to answer your question, I would say absolutely. We'll look to probably continue this trend.
How do you describe the makeup of this team compared to last year? I mean, obviously, there was so much uncertainty, unknown, that was going to be the hallmark of the 21 season, and particularly the preparation for the 21 season. And you know, certainly with bringing guys like Trey LeClaire and Ryan Tarafenko back, you know, you had a nucleus of leadership and some enthusiasm around, you know, the fact that their perceived senior, expected senior year ended abruptly and not the way that anybody wanted it to. And it gave him an opportunity to, you know, essentially kind of have another go at it. Whereas, you know, this year, I think that your team would be characterized as having a lot of new faces and a lot of opportunities for new guys to emerge, and maybe not as much of a defined character as the expectation was heading into last season. Is that a fair assessment in your opinion, or am I off base?
No, I think that's really fair, Terry. You know, you have three, you know, Terry and Henny were three-time captains for us, you know, so just right there in itself. I mean, that's a lot of consistency, and, you know, we certainly miss those guys. They're great Buckeyes, and they always will be. But, you know, this, we kind of turned the page this summer, and it was a bit of a reset. You know, we had a roster that really hovered in like the mid-30s, low-30s at times last year. And just with guys that opted out, injuries, COVID, guys that were sidelined due to some things, you know, with the pandemic that kept them from being able to play. A guy like Colby Smith was out the entire year. You know, he's back now and he's had a great fall. So I just think, you know, it was a retool of the roster. You know, we've added five Buckeyes that have come to us via other places, and we've added 12 freshmen. So, you know, it's a roster of 48. It's a great number. That's a number that we typically target, you know, to be at 48. But it's definitely got a new feel to it, you know? And so I think that you have to just start there with, it's a full roster of Buckeyes. And, you know, when you have 17 new Buckeyes, it's exciting to get that new fresh energy, and you have new leadership, and you have guys that are emerging into a new leadership role. So, we actually just voted for captains yesterday. I don't think we've announced it yet, so I don't know if I want to let the cat out of the bag publicly, but we feel great about who our leadership is and how that's been defined by the team. And our leadership council is one that I think is going to be really strong as well. So it's been fun. It's been fun to kind of reset things, if you will, get back to what we feel like is our core here at Buckeye Lacrosse. And that has really driven us this fall in terms of a lot of the things that we've tried to accomplish.
So without letting the cat out of the bag, I think, you know, there are some guys that come back with a lot of experience, and it's reasonable to expect them to kind of, if not necessarily core, you know, form the core of the leadership, certainly form the core of what you guys look like on field. So, you know, we've got attackman Jack Myers, we've got Jackson Reed, we've got Justin Anasio at the faceoff X, certainly down low, a guy like Jacob Snyder is a known commodity. What do you expect this team to look like on the field in the spring?
Yeah, again, listen, you hear me say it a lot. We want to play Buckeye lacrosse, you know, and I think Buckeye lacrosse starts with effort and toughness. You know, Buckeyes don't beat Buckeyes. You know, I think that's, as humans, we have the ability to beat ourselves more often than not, you know, so I think our biggest opponent more often than not is ourselves. And so just being aware of that and having that conversation, and as we develop guys, and like you said, as you mentioned, those guys you just said are big time leaders for us, and they're, and certainly in their respective positions as well. But we want to play with an edge, you know. I mean, we play boxes this fall, and I really like playing box, because I think box is a way you can teach the game and also really, you know, develop, if you will, effort and toughness. You know, when we go over to the box, it's not so much about skill development as much as people may think. It's about, well, kind of earning your stripes as a Buckeye. I mean, we play really, really hard over there, and it's high intensity, and the guys always really look forward to it. And, you know, I think each week, you know, you see guys kind of level up and get more and more comfortable. And I remember my first experience at just out of college when I first played, you know, some box. I was hanging around the Columbus Land Sharks organization, and I was overwhelmed with the speed, the physicality. And then, you know, as you play it more and more, you get more comfortable. And I think that was great to see guys as we played box this fall. We hadn't done that in over a year. You know, guys start to really find a little bit more inside of themselves. And I think that's the kind of identity of this team that I wanted to keep fostering, is a team that plays incredibly hard, a team that plays for each other, you know, and a team that understands that, hey, listen, if we stay focused on who we are and chase our best version of ourselves, we could be a tough team to beat.
On the other end of the spectrum, newcomers, obviously Caton Johnson, a transfer from North Carolina, who had been a starter, a noteworthy new arrival. In addition to that, we've got a couple of freshmen that come in with some significant acclaim and also some intrigue around them, particularly Bobby Van Buren, a defenseman, and Ari Allen, a middie from IMG, who is a highly touted football player as well. What can you say about the new guys in terms of the commitment? Not just those three, but generally the, you know, the impact that they're making in their, you know, short time already on campus.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you asking that. The transfer guys, you know, Caton has been great. You know, we got three goalies in the roster. I think all three have had a great fall. They've all had opportunities to play in the competition that we've experienced. But he specifically has had a great fall. He's come in. I think, you know, he missed a lot of time. And, you know, he, from where he was to start to where he is now, it's been really impressive, and credit him for his hard work. You know, Gallagher is a guy that came to us from Lynchburg. Coach Kadelka is someone I've always really looked up to. And you know, he called and, you know, gave a great reference here on one of his top guys. And he's been a real treat. You know, he's a guy that I think will even have a stake in this leadership as well. But he came in, he started training this summer with our guys. I mean, he transferred in, got here, got an apartment, and just got right to it. And, you know, he's a guy that's played a lot this fall for us down at close D, and he's filled in some minutes there for some guys that we've lost. And I think he's got a chance to be pretty special. You know, it's nice to see, as Division III player myself, it's great to see a guy come that had a ton of success at that level and come in and clearly see that he's capable of doing it here in the Big Ten. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You know, and then, you know, Jason, I think, has had a good fall as well. You know, Jason comes to us from Hobart. Box player, you know, Canadian left-hander. We've had certainly many of those here over the years. And, you know, I think he's kind of getting comfortable with just his teammates and the idea of kind of playing positionless lacrosse. You know, he's a guy that can play attack or midi for us. Good scorer. He's got good touch. And then Drew and Noah, you know, Drew's a face-off guy, also from Hobart. And it's been fun to see him and Anasio really kind of going at each other a bit. You know, I feel like we really have a little bit more depth there than maybe we've had in years past. It's nice to have, and you see a lot of teams now that have two guys they can go out there with. I think taking pressure off Anasio and having a guy that he can compete with every day, it's been really fun to see. So, you know, I think Drew Blanchard's brought a lot in that space, and Noah coming over from Lafayette is also added some depth defensively. The two you mentioned, from a freshman perspective, Bobby and Ari are great. We really are excited about this freshman class. I think as a whole, it's made us more athletic. You know, we wanted to get a little more athletic, if you will, in terms of bigger, stronger, faster, you know, with these guys. I think there's some guys from some non-traditional areas, as you say, whether it's Atlanta, you know, North Carolina, you know, but some athletes, some real athletes in this class. You know, when we test out the numbers, I talked to you earlier in the call about the strength. You know, our freshmen are testing out really impressively, you know, in a lot of things that we're doing. So that's been great. It's brought some competitiveness to the roster. It's challenged some guys. And I think that it's on us to really develop them in many ways as lacrosse players. And I think Bobby and Ari are two great examples of guys that can be impact players for us this year. Both have tremendous, you know, talent and upside in terms of their abilities. But they need to play. I mean, Bobby's first time ever being in school. As you know, he was homeschooled. So he's, you know, he's acclimating to college life and just being in a locker room for the first time. He's been great. I mean, he's been phenomenal, you know, there. The guys love him, and he's getting, I think, more and more comfortable by the day. Coach Crane's done a great job there. And Ari has been a real pleasure. You know, I think he's been identified by his peers as someone that will be on our leadership council. So that's a credit to Ari, but you know, he's kind of like lightning in a bottle. You know, you think about a guy like Jack Jasinski for us, who came to us from Alabama. He's a little off the radar, but ended up being a great player. I mean, Ari kind of brings that type of speed and burst to the offense where he can play attack, he can play midi. You know, I think he led IMG in receptions last year as a wide receiver, but just a guy that hasn't played as much lacrosse over the last year and a half. And so this fall has been really important for him in terms of his growth.
Well, Coach Myers, we really appreciate your time on the Inside Lacrosse podcast. Look forward to checking out the Buckeyes this spring. Enjoy the holiday season, and can't wait to watch your team return to campus in January.
Thanks, Terry. I appreciate you. Take care.
And the Inside Lacrosse podcast continues with Ohio State senior attackman Jack Myers. And Jack, you know, we just talked to Coach Myers, and he talked about how excited he is coming away from your 20-hour week practices in the fall and the scrimmages that you had against Syracuse, Yale, US U21 team, and North Carolina. How do you characterize the way that the fall unfolded from your perspective?
I thought it was a great fall. You know, we had a lot of competitions, which was great. And I think the guys did really well transitioning into that 20-hour work week. It felt good to be back kind of in a normal fall coming off of last year. And I thought it was just a great test every weekend having an opponent for the 4 weeks this fall. And I thought every weekend we did a great job of kind of taking what we were practicing and transitioning that into our scrimmages. And then also taking away things that we can work on. So I thought the coaching staff did a great job preparing us for our scrimmages, and then also coming back the next week and still focusing on what we can continue to get better at as a team.
So one of the things that he emphasized was the strength and conditioning component of it, and utilizing 2 weeks in August and 4 weeks in September to try to get your numbers up, essentially, and acknowledging that you weren't where as a group you needed to be coming into the fall. What was that period like? Is it the type of thing as a college athlete where the weight room is a grind, or is it the type of thing where you can really kind of get some enthusiasm behind it because of both the way the workouts are structured and because, you know, your team has, for lack of a better way of putting it, a little bit of a meathead mentality and you want to move a bunch of metal around?
Yeah, well, I think guys are really excited coming back this fall. We have a new strength coach in Coach Karp who he's been awesome. He's very meticulous when it comes to our workouts and how he plans our workouts. We had almost, I think, 20 guys in Columbus this summer who were introduced to him. So they got kind of used to his style of training us. And then I think guys just coming off that feedback were really excited to get back on campus in August and start working out with Coach Karp. And he's been awesome. I think there's been a tremendous progression in our strength and conditioning this fall. So I think guys were just, they heard the news about who Coach Karp was and how he kind of trains us. And I think guys just came back and they were excited to kind of get in the weight room and get after it with Coach Karp. We've seen a lot of progress in terms of our strength and conditioning.
How has it gone for you personally? What are you throwing around these days?
I'm definitely stronger than when I came in freshman year. Coach Myers, he got on me a lot. He liked to chirp me for my, I wasn't the strongest guy in the weight room, but, I was home this summer, so I wasn't with Coach Karp, but, just coming into this fall, I was a lot stronger, especially in my lower body. I think that was my emphasis for this summer. I'm moving my way to the top half of the team in terms of strength and conditioning, and I'm excited. Specific numbers, I don't know if those matter too much, but I'm definitely I won't say those because, but I'm definitely excited for what I was able to do this summer. And then continue on through the fall. Coach Myers is definitely happy with the progress that I've made.
What was the vibe like around this team, particularly compared to last year when, you know, Terry coming back, Trey coming back, Henrik coming back was kind of like, I remember talking to those guys and talking to some of the members of your team, and, you know, it really kind of felt like a, I don't know what the right way to put it is, maybe like, you know, a shot of redemption or an opportunity to finish what had been started and cut short in 2020. Whereas, you know, it feels like maybe this year there's a little bit more of a, you know, kind of standalone identity for this 22 team. How does that feel like within, you know, the group of 48 guys?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, having Terry, Jeff, and Trey coming back, it was really good for us. And I think in a lot of ways, them being fifth years, playing a lot of games, they had a lot of experience under the belt. I think we, as a team, just leaned on them as much as we could. Whenever anything went wrong or went right, we always leaned on them. And it's definitely a challenge when you lose two guys like Terry and Jeff, who were three-time captains, coming into this fall and not having captains this fall. So I think we just had to rely on our senior class a lot. We have a big senior class, and that was kind of at the start of our fall, the emphasis with Coach Myers is who this senior class really was and what we wanted to accomplish this fall. And I think we've done a great job coming together and just not trying to lean on a couple of voices, which I think we did in years past with Terry and Jeff, and really trying to get different guys in this senior class to step up. And I think the senior class has done a really good job this fall with that.
So with respect to turning the attention to the spring, what are some things that you're going to focus on over the course of the next 6 weeks to make sure that you're ready when you come back to campus in January?
Yeah, well, so it's definitely a challenge. We're kind of going into that period where we'll go home for Thanksgiving break for a week and then come back, get to work out with Coach Karp for one more week in December. We go into finals week, and then everyone goes home for that winter break period. So I think the challenge with that is not losing the edge we had when we're all together, all 50 guys are together with Coach Carr pushing each other. And that's the challenge. Are you going to work out as hard as you are when you have 49 other guys next to you when you're home and you're running sprints or working out alone? So I think that's the challenge, and it's just, again, going to be on this senior class to try to keep this team connected, whether it's through GroupMe or FaceTimes. And it doesn't have to be just lacrosse, but maybe FaceTiming guys, just seeing how everyone is. And I think that's the challenge. And we're kind of going through that period right now, trying to figure out what the plan is. But it's definitely a challenge, and I think we're looking forward to it. We've done different things in past with GroupMe's and sending videos in. So I think we'll have some variation of that, but just trying to keep the team as connected as possible so you don't lose that edge when you're home.
With respect to your game specifically, you know, I've always kind of fancied you as a kind of traditional dual threat, two-handed attackman, able to play behind the goal, turn the corner and draw a slide because of your ability to score a goal, and then also find your open teammate for an easy look, whether it's a dunk or a step down. What are you trying to improve on? What are you trying to accomplish? You know, particularly, I find it interesting that you said that you were focused on developing some lower body strength. What's next? What takes your game to the next level?
I think I've worked with Coach Myers a lot, but I think it's just focusing on being consistent every practice, and then trying to put that into the game, into every weekend when we're playing. I think with the lower body part, it was just the amount of dodges I would have in a game, just trying to be able to dodge the same as I at the end of the game as it was at the beginning, and just being able to make decisions with the ball being in my stick so much. I think just being able to make the right decisions and know when to push the pace or when to slow it down. I think that's something that Coach Myers and I have talked to a lot about this fall, is just being able to take chances and not try to play a slow paced game, but knowing when to pull it out and set up the offense. So just being more of a kind of a game, I don't know how you put it, but a game manager. Whereas before kind of before like early on in my career, there's other guys to kind of lean on. And now just with the ball being in my stick so much, I think just making the right decision and trying to manage the game and control our offense.
You're defensively, you've got returning starters, you've got at least a couple of transfers, one from Lynchburg, one from Lafayette, that are newcomers, as well as a couple of defensemen, including Bobby Van Buren, who was our top-ranked defenseman in this incoming freshman class. Who got the better of you the most in practice this fall?
I think a lot of guys stepped up on the defensive end. There's a good rotation of guys that are kind of fighting for those starting spots. And I think Coach Crane does a great job of mixing in a lot of guys. So I think, you know, Bobby's been great this fall. It was a kind of a big transition for him early on, but he has been great. He works extremely hard. So definitely impressed with Bobby and the way he's grown, not only on the field, but also off the field. So I think Bobby's in a great spot right now, but there's other defenders like Jake Snyder, who's kind of the leader of our defense, kind of the voice of our defense, who has done a great job this fall trying to be that voice of the defense. And then, like you said, Tyler, who's transferred from Lynchburg, he's been doing great. And then there's other guys like George Walsh who have stepped in. So I think there's a good rotation of defenders right now that Coach Crane's doing a great job mixing in. And I think all of them got kind of I was just impressed with all of them this fall.
Shifting gears a little bit, Michigan State coming to town to take on the Buckeyes on the gridiron this coming weekend in a top 10 matchup. And then, of course, the one of the biggest rivalries in all of college football the following weekend in Ann Arbor. What are your thoughts on the season the football team's had, and what's the vibe been like now being able to go back into the Shoe?
The vibe's been awesome. The Shoe is extremely, extremely fun to go to, and I think the fans have enjoyed kind of being back in that normal setting. I think the school atmosphere in general has been great, and it's nice to go to a school where the football team's pretty good. So I think the offense is pretty electric with that receiving core, and I just think that they're fun to watch, and they're exciting to get behind, kind of as the student body getting behind the football team. And, you know, they have two big matchups coming down the stretch here. But I don't think there's any doubt that the Buckeyes won't be in the college football playoff.
Oh, there it is. A prediction. Love it. Jack, we really appreciate your time on the Inside Lacrosse podcast. Enjoy the holiday. We look forward to getting eyes on you as you guys get back on the field in January.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me on.
Inside Lacrosse podcast. The source of the sport.